Welcome to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio, where we explore people, stories, and events in Central Iowa. I am Pat Schlarbaum, your reporter and host for today. Thank you for listening. Today is our spring fun drive. If you are enjoying Local Talk, please give us a call at 515-292-2878. That's after 9 a.m. Or go to our website, khoifm.org, and find the donate button. If you enjoy strengthening our community through our KHOI Communication Network, please become a member at $55 or at a sustaining membership level of $250 or whatever you feel is commensurate with your enjoyment level. If your budget is tight, whatever amount works for you will be fine. If you are blessed, whatever amount you can share will be greatly appreciated to help keep the lights on and the airwaves flowing. Please contribute to keep this station going. This is grassroots radio at its finest. Live for today and into the future. When you contribute to your local grassroots community radio station, show some love on a sustaining financial level to KHOI. We're the heart of Iowa, and keep the love shining and our hearts beating and growing. It's up to you. So later in the show, we will air an informative interview by John Pullman, spokesperson for the Outdoor Alliance of Story County. And the weather today and tomorrow sounds a lot like April showers will bring May flowers, with a 30% chance of more showers. Cloudy, then gradually becoming mostly sunny with a high near 63. Light breezes with a chance of rain this evening also. And tomorrow, showers likely with thunderstorms also possible after 1 p.m. It'll be cloudy with a high near 53. East-northeast winds at 10 to 15 miles per hour with gusts as high as 22. Chance of precipitation is 70%. New rainfall amounts between a quarter and a half an inch are possible. And later in the week, they are predicting some sunny days with highs in the 60s and lows in the 40s without a hint of snow. There should be reports of morel mushrooms and wildflowers galore this week in Iowa. And the second wave of neotropical migrants will be returning to Iowa, including rose-breasted grosbeaks, the northern orioles, and indigo buntings, my favorite. And with that, let's welcome Dennis Hart's sunny disposition with his summary of the news.
Thanks very much. It's good to be right back here in this seat on this last Monday in April. Politics made big news around Iowa last week, as it so often does. State lawmakers wrapped up their 2019 legislative session on Saturday afternoon. Among the bills they passed, one that will give Republican Governor Kim Reynolds and future governors more power in picking state Supreme Court justices. In addition, lawmakers passed a health budget bill that bans the use of Medicaid dollars for transgender surgery and prohibits Planned Parenthood from accessing federal dollars for sex education. They approved legislation legalizing sports wagering and placing bets on fantasy sports websites and certain apps. Lawmakers also approved a $7.6 billion spending plan for the budget year that starts July 1st. Included in that, $15 million to help with recovery efforts following recent flooding in the state. Still on politics, the longest-serving Republican in the state legislature said he's leaving the party, in part because of his disapproval of Donald Trump. Representative Andy McKean, who represents Anamosa in the state House of Representatives, announced that he plans to register as a Democrat. McKean said when he joined the Iowa State House 40 years ago, there were many moderates in the Republican Party. But now, he said, those ranks have thinned. Meanwhile, Iowa 4th District Republican Congressman Steve King made news again last week when he said that after facing months of criticism for comments in the New York Times about white supremacy and nationalism, he better understands the persecution that Jesus Christ felt. He made his latest comments during a town hall meeting in Cherokee. He said, in his words, "When I have to step down to the floor of the House of Representatives and look up at the 400 and some accusers, I have better insight into what he went through for us, partly because of that experience." King's accusers were fellow members of the House of Representatives, who took action condemning King after the New York Times published an article that quoted him as saying, again in his words, "White nationalism, white supremacist, Western civilization, how did that language become offensive?" House Republicans also stripped him of his committee assignments. With all this going on last week, Iowa Republican U.S. Senator Joni Ernst suggested The federal government had misused its power to spy on President Trump for political reasons as part of the investigation into Russia's efforts to influence the 2016 election. Ernst spoke to a meeting of the West Side Conservative Club in Urbandale and asked, in her words, with the federal government spying on political opponents, what have we come to? Still on politics, Iowa Attorney General Tom Miller, who is the longest-serving Attorney General in the United States, said last week that this term could be his last. The Democrat said he has no plans to seek election for an 11th term when his current term ends in 2022, but he admitted that he had said the same thing last time and changed his mind. Meanwhile, a new study showed that thousands of private wells that Iowans use for drinking water are contaminated with unsafe levels of bacteria and nitrates. The Environmental Working Group and the State Environmental Council blame farmers' use of fertilizer for the pollution. Farmers use manure and commercial fertilizer to grow corn, soybeans, and other crops on 30 million acres. When plants aren't growing and using the nutrients, they can move and find their way into rivers, streams, and lakes. The report stressed the importance for Iowans to get their wells tested. In Des Moines, the city council decided to ban standing in the medians at about 200 intersections. That vote came 6 months after the city did away with its ordinance that banned panhandling without a city license. Pedestrians will now be banned from standing, sitting, or staying on any median less than 6 feet wide for any purpose other than crossing the street. In Warren County, authorities said demolition of the county courthouse is set to begin this coming month. Most of the work will be done by mid-July. Bids for the new courthouse are not expected to go out until late June or early July. This as officials adjusted their plans for the new courthouse and justice center after cost estimates came in more than $3 million higher than the $30 million that voters approved for the project last summer. In Cedar Rapids, a man fell to his death from a downtown construction site. Investigators believe 47-year-old Michael Dean Patterson of Norwalk fell from a beam while working on building renovations. Meanwhile, a Northeast Iowa woman will spend the rest of her life in prison in connection with the death of her 5-week-old daughter, who died after getting a skull fracture. 29-year-old Alicia Marie Rios of Elgin admitted striking her daughter with a coffee table. Last week, she entered what's called an Elford plea to first-degree murder, in which she did not admit guilt, but acknowledged the plea was in her best interest. Still on the court beat, an Indiana man was sentenced to up to 30 years in prison in the killing of a Fort Dodge woman whose body was found burned in a field. 26-year-old Philip Williams of Lafayette, Indiana, had pleaded guilty to attempted murder. If he'd gone to trial and been convicted of murder, he could have been sentenced to life in prison for the death of 26-year-old Jessica Gomez. In another court case, a Hardin County grandfather was ordered to pay a $10 million judgment for sexually abusing his 6-year-old granddaughter. The judgment against 62-year-old Dean Hillpiper of Webster City is believed to be the largest of its kind in Iowa. He had pleaded guilty last year to molesting his granddaughter. He avoided prison through a plea deal and was sentenced last year to 5 years probation. The girl's mother filed a civil lawsuit. In yet another case, a violent sexual assault at a Des Moines gas station will land a man in prison for at least 17 years. 25-year-old Gerald William Miller was found guilty last month of second-degree sexual abuse in connection with an incident involving a Quick Trip employee who was attacked. In Eldora, an Iowa woman convicted on charges relating to confining her boyfriend's 8-year-old son under basement stairs was sentenced to jail and a small fine. Tracy Lynn Tyler was sentenced to up to 1 year in jail and fined $315. The boy's father, Alex Shadlow, is still waiting for trial. Meanwhile, a California man who had been caught with 15 pounds of meth in his vehicle when he was stopped by an Iowa sheriff's deputy was sentenced to 20 years in prison. 31-year-old Michael Anthony Santisteban was driving on Interstate 80 in Council Bluffs when he was stopped for speeding. The meth was found in a spare tire. In another drug-related case, a Western Iowa man was sentenced to more than 12 years in prison for dealing meth. 32-year-old Kenneth Ryan Hartwell of Glenwood was stopped last April by police in Council Bluffs during a check on alleged vehicle burglaries. Still in Council Bluffs, a high school band teacher there was arrested on allegations that he engaged in sexual activity with one of his female students, who is now 17 years old. 56-year-old Frederick Mendel is charged with 2 counts of sexual exploitation by a school employee. He taught band at Abraham Lincoln High School. Mendel resigned earlier this month. He had taught in the district for 30 years. In Northeast Iowa, a sheriff was both praised and criticized last week for posting a religious Easter greeting on the department's Facebook page. The post was put on the Winnesee County Sheriff's Office Facebook page, and Sheriff Dan Mark said he had no intention of removing it. The post included the words, "He is risen," over a photo showing a cross on the crest of a hill being illuminated from behind by the sun. To the right was a message, "Happy Easter from all of us at the Winnesee County Sheriff's Office." A spokesman for the American Civil Liberties Union of Iowa said that message is inappropriate under what he called our traditions of religious freedom enshrined in the Iowa and U.S. constitutions. Several people posted comments in support of the sheriff's action. In other news, a central Iowa teenager headed home late last week after falling from a bridge days earlier. 17-year-old Rory Alexander of Boone had fallen 30 feet onto railroad tracks in Logansport, an unincorporated community west of Boone. Also last week, word that the Animal Rescue League of Iowa had retrieved 26 cats from a Des Moines apartment after their owner was seen throwing them out a window. More than half the kittens rescued were younger than 5 months old. Many were in dire need of medical care. In another case involving animals, the owner of a northern Iowa dog breeding operation pleaded not guilty to 17 counts of animal neglect. Authorities said 66-year-old Barbara Cavers of Manly had 17 dogs in inhumane conditions when officials raided her operation last November. One more note from last week before I go. Seems a homeowner in Des Moines discovered a long-buried psychedelic painting of a naked woman on the floorboards of his Southside home, a painting that dates back 49 years. The home is in the 1400 block of Lewis Avenue, and the owners bought it last May. A broken water main forced the couple to tear up the worn teal carpet in the main rooms of the house, and that's when the big painting was revealed underneath. A signature on the painting indicated it was created in 1970, and the homeowners were able to find one of the artists who helped create it. And that's your summary of the week's news from around Iowa. I'm Dennis Hart, not much of an artist myself, not even when it comes to painting floors, but ready to take a few days off now until I come back right here on Friday with news from around Ames. In the meantime, have a great, healthy, and happy week.
Flashing in a starry sky, where the days don't end and the fire don't die. Raise your tired eyes up high. Yeah, watch those shining wings fly by. Yeah, watch those shining wings fly by. Just met, but you know it's true. You see me and I see you, and I see your heart come shining through. Stand for the moon and say stand for the day. Stand for truth in the things you say. Stand for black and white. Stand for love, don't stand in the way. Yeah, stand for love, don't stand in the way.
That was a bit of Shining Wings by Big Blue Sky. And if you're joining us, you're listening to Local Talk on KHOY 89.1 FM. And I'm Pat Schlarbaum, and this is the start of our, and this is proceeding through our spring fund drive. We have raised $28,489, yet we have a few thousands to go to reach our $50,000 goal. So this effort requires all of us to feel the benevolence and feel the love of this station, to strengthen our community through communication. Radio is for everyone, and everyone is for radio. So give us a call after 9 a.m. at 515-292-2878 or go to our website at khoifm.org and find the donate button. Or better yet, stop in to the KHOI studios at 410 Douglas in downtown Ames, where a local phenology is unfolding with our nesting pair of house finches. Our longtime listeners have been kept informed of the progress of these delightful birds with their beautiful singing. The Songbird community is contributing what they can. Won't you please consider becoming a member of KHOI's growing list of supporters and contributing what you can? Please call 515-292-2878 after 9 a.m. or go to the website at khoifm.org and find the donate button to become a member. Membership is $55 a year or something like 15 cents a day. Or become a sustaining member at $250. As anything worthwhile requires sustenance and maintenance to keep us informed. And here's a phenology for late April in the Ames area. Our station manager, Ursula, told us about a bird that probably visited Ames in the early 20th century and then was wiped out from our forest lands that has now returned. Well, phenology is writing down nature's happenings when they occur. The first butterfly of spring or the last flock of pelicans in autumn are noted in a journal for future reference and comparisons from year to year. Today's phenology is about pileated woodpeckers. There's a newer bird to the central Iowa woodlands. And as we learned Friday from our station manager, Ursula Rudenberg saw one recently in the Reactor Woods in northwest Ames near Ontario. Look for pileated woodpeckers in stands of mature forests with plenty of dead trees and downed logs. Deep excavations into rotten wood are telltale signs of this species. And listen for the bird's deep, loud drumming and shrill whinnying calls. Pileated woodpeckers occur at all heights in the forests and are often seen foraging on logs and near the bases of trees at our level. 20 years ago, the calls and extensive chiseling of pileated woodpeckers was restricted to east of I-35, primarily in the large forested tracts of northeast Iowa. And this time of year, you might hear a mighty hammering, almost as if their drumming is calling to potential mates and warning other woodpeckers a big one has arrived. The pileated woodpecker is one of the largest, most striking forest birds on the continent. It's nearly the size of a crow, black with bold white stripes down the neck and a flaming red crest. Look and listen for pileated woodpeckers whacking at dead trees and fallen logs in search of their main prey, carpenter ants, leaving unique rectangular holes in the wood. Pileated woodpeckers sometimes visit backyard bird feeders, especially for fatty suet. If you have dead or dying trees or snags on your property, consider leaving them alone, as they may attract pileated woodpeckers to forest, roost, or even nest in them. In our state, there are 7 distinct woodpeckers. Yellow-bellied sapsuckers, there's downy woodpeckers, hairy, yellow-shafted flickers, red-headed woodpeckers, red-bellied, with the largest being the pileated. And they all love dead and dying trees, or snags, another word for a dead tree. Pileated woodpeckers are quite vocal, typically making a high, clear series of piping calls that last several seconds. Pileated woodpeckers also give shorter calls that sound like wuck, 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 quack, quack, to indicate a territory boundary or to give an alarm. At any rate, their raucous calls always brings to mind the sound of the jungle in my world. Their drumming is also quite distinctive. Both sexes drum powerfully on trees at any time of the year, typically a fairly slow, deep rolling that lasts about 3 seconds. Males begin drumming in late winter to establish and defend a territory, but both sexes drum as part of the courtship, and either sex may drum to solicit mating, to summon a mate from a distance, or in response to an intruder near a nest. The pileated woodpecker digs characteristically large rectangular holes in trees to find ants. These elongated excavations of many feet can be so broad and deep that they can cause small trees to break in half. The feeding excavations of pileated woodpeckers are so extensive that they often attract other birds needing crucial shelter, including black-capped chickadees, bluebirds, eastern screech owls, wood ducks, and many bats. A pileated pair stays together on its territory all year round. It will defend the territory in all seasons, but will tolerate new arrivals during the winter. The oldest known pileated woodpecker was a male and nearly 13 years old when he was recaptured and released during a banding operation in Maryland. And one other detail about the name of these birds. Many people call these birds pileated, or some say pileated. Having grown up on a farm, I always prefer to call them pileated, as I heard that name first. Yet there are many that say pileated, possibly a link to the piles of wood chips that collect under their workings. These wood chip piles will be gleaming white from the new chiseling and will stand out in a vista of the woods, as piles can be quite large. However their name is pronounced, it is easy to think of them as the woody woodpecker of the woods with antics galore. And that's our phonology of pileated woodpeckers that you can hear and see near Ames. Theme music is John Barleycorn Must Die by Traffic. This is Pat Schlarbaum with KHOI Community Radio. Become a member at our website, khoifm.org, and locate the donate button to support this station. Cool. This environmental update is sponsored by the Outdoor Alliance of Story County, Story County's Conservation's Friends Group, working to enhance outdoor recreation, education, and conservation. Information can be found at oasco.org. If you are listening, that means you have come to rely upon these great local talk hosts, Ursula Rudenberg, Gail Seiler, Susan Franson, Paul Wearson, Maggie Westfold, Joy Beadleston, and maybe you, we will train you. Or maybe a financial support to this station works out better for you. Become a member by stopping into the station at the Pantorium Building, 410 Douglas in downtown Ames, or simply give us a call at 515-292-2878 after 9 a.m. Or maybe you want to check out our website at khoifm.org. Memberships are $55 or 15 cents a day, yet it's really sustenance that we are striving for. Become a sustaining member of $250 a year, which fulfills your commitment to keep the airwaves strong with local news and events that strengthen our community through communication. We are 89.1 FM. KHOI, the heart of Iowa, Story City, Ames, and surrounding community. Recently, a conservationist conservation man, John Pullman, with the Outdoor Alliance of Story County, stopped by the KHOI studios to share his important work and the mission of the Outdoor Alliance of Story County. Okay, in the KHOI studios, John Pullman with the Outdoor Alliance of Story County.
Good morning.
And the Outdoor Alliance, from semantics, it sounds like the outdoors is pretty important to the John Pullman family.
Well, it is important to the John Pullman family, but it's also important to the Outdoor Alliance, other members of our community that have come together to form our organization with the idea that being outdoors or having outdoor activities are important. And some years ago, 6-7 years ago, they come together.
Conservation-minded individuals?
Well, yes, some conservation-minded individuals, local people that have been involved either formally or informally with different organizations in the county, primarily Story County Conservation. But always looking back and saying, boy, it would have been a little bit better if they could have found a little more money for that project or this project outdoors, different outdoor projects. And so they kind of said, well, maybe we ought to be able to organize and put together an organization that would assist in finding funding, help find financing that'll help put things together, and maybe just not really financing things themselves, but helping. Mm-hmm. Sometimes that help is good because it just brings together a little better coalition, or in this case, an alliance of.
Does help include support politically?
Our organization is not really allowed to do any politicking. We're a 501c3, and that means our charter is written such that we can't go do lobbying, and we're not part of that connection. We're there to help do conservation of things here in Story County, and that's primarily our charter, is to stay within Story County's boundaries, although we're not limited to that.
Do you remember your first project that the Outdoor Alliance of Story County engaged?
Well, we were involved in some trail maintenance.
Now that's the Heartland Trail?
No, we were involved with some trail maintenance over at Hickory Grove, helping do some things over there. We actually partnered with the department store Kohl's here in town, and they have a green team arrangement that they provide some help with some of their people, and then we go out and do a 3-hour project with 5 of their people, team up with some of our own people with Story County Conservation, and we can actually have enough people to do a real project. And then when that's all said and done, the company itself will also donate money to our organization. And that's been a very interesting connection. It helps bring people that are in the retail business of clothing business to a bit of a different world from their perspective, and we think that's great, because the more opportunities that people have in this county to get outdoors and see what things there are, learn new and different things about being outdoors, I think it's great, and so do others.
Yeah, that's great to align a business in Story County with the conservation of our natural resources.
And I need to mention, we have continued to do this for 3 or 4 years now. So it's like other projects, invasive species, clearing of some fence lines from one of the latest acquisitions for Story County, for the Carroll Prairie area over north of Nevada. That's been one of the things that they helped us with last year.
Now, is that on Indian Creek?
Yes, I always get my West Indian Creek. I think that's West Indian Creek that goes through part of it. And it's some of a natural area that realistically had only been pastured. So there's a lot of good native species there, and by a little bit of maintenance from Story County and getting some invasives out as we were doing and clearing some of the fence lines, I think that'll be a great 50 acres or 49 acres, I think it is, of addition to our county's park system.
And another I'm familiar with is right along the Skunk River, just south of New 30.
That's really Jordan Acres. Now then, that was a unique piece of acquisition for the Story County Conservation. It essentially got started through somebody in a family, a death in the family, but that person really wanted that property to become conservation land, open to different things, and so primarily the Iowa Natural Heritage Foundation came in, and they were the ones that kind of spearheaded the whole project and acquiring it, working the negotiations with the family members, then going about organizing grant writing from fish and wildlife people and other grant opportunities there. Some of the national, well, I think it comes from the fish and wildlife people, their department, where you get money from hunters. So that property is ultimately open to hunting, all of the rules and regulations of hunting.
And that's due to the funding source.
Right, and that's due to the funding source. That means it's not an active trail system, but it's still a nice acquisition of good prairie land. It's down on the bottom land next to the river, so in part of our process to acquire it was some cleanup, and thereby, we've had floods in this area. There was stuff or debris that had been washed in over the years that had gotten, we went in and helped clean up. But there again, Kohl's was a retail operation, and these are people that are normally wearing designer jeans. they were out there helping us, and I thought it was great.
We got several loads
of things out in one evening that was just amazing, and everybody says, this is a great piece of property to add to the Story County Conservation Park system. Now then, they've had to do a few things to get it organized, I mean, and get it prepared for open. They opened it up last year. There was a dedication for the property last summer, as I recall. Pardon me for not being specific on dates, but it's open as a public park for primarily for hunting or just going out and doing some bird watching. If I don't recommend anybody going out and do bird watching during the hunting season, but most bird watchers already know that.
There's some incredible white oaks and bur oaks along there, that stretch of the Skunk River.
There was a silver maple that I still think is the biggest tree, biggest diameter tree I've ever seen, short of the sequoias in California.
Oh, well, there you go.
It's not very tall, but man, is it a big fat tree at the bottom. So it's kind of interesting. Just walk through
special.
And see right here in Story County.
Well, I'd like to commit to getting the word out when you have, as you mentioned, the cleanups and things. Keep that on my community calendar. Opportunities to assist the Outdoor Alliance.
We try to put our things on our website, which is oasco.org.
Outdoor Alliance of Story County.
Right.
OASCO. I really like that Jordan property also because a lot of the rivers and waterways in Iowa have been channelized downstream from that site. But it's my understanding that the river is still in its natural state. There's oxbows. It meanders. It's really a jewel.
Yes, and that was one of the things that Story County, with some of their efforts, have. Now, it wasn't all that way. Some of that was tilled before, and so they...
Oh, in the floodplain.
Yeah, it was.
Some agriculture.
And there's enough floods that have happened over the years that they kind of basically said, this really shouldn't be part of our corn production or corn or soybean production. Mm. And so ultimately, they had put some of it in CRP at one point in time. And
now, that's a conservation reserve program.
Right.
So
that ultimately was very good prairie that, was a good start to add to a recreation and a hunting area that I think is great to have within walking distance. Well, if you want to walk a mile or two, within walking distance of Ames, I think that's great that you can go for a walk. And
I think there's a bike trail even going down
technically there are no trails in that other than there's some maintenance access.
But down to it.
Right. There may be some trails down to it, well, plus gravel road. Yeah. You can take gravel road down there to it.
Yeah.
But back to the Outdoor Alliance of Story County, we think that's a great project, but we're sure not limited to that. We work on trying to partner with others in way of water quality, doing some water quality testing through Story County Conservation. They're trying to initiate programs in regular water testing, partly for their own benefit, but for the county as well. I mean, in that doing it for the county board of supervisors, they have some programs on going that direction. I'm not sure of all of those details, but we want to partner with them in helping find some funding for those kinds of activities.
Thank you, John Polman. Thanks for all you do for conservation, and thanks for having time to stop in this morning.
Okay, thank you.
Let my spirit get wet. Let my soul drift away. You hear what that goddess in the river has to say. Down by the river. I know breeze is fresh and the cold winds blow around me. Let there be that big blue sky. Let that eagle fly right on by over me. Set my spirit free. Let my soul drift away. Hear what that goddess in the breeze has to say. Down by the river. It's supposed to be up on the ridge.
That was Down by the River by the Big Blue Sky Band. And I hope you all listen to the Jordan New Access south of New 30. Along the Skunk River, the Jordan Access. There's some nice big trees in there. So it was nice that Big Blue Sky could compliment John Pullman and all the good work of the Outdoor Alliance of Story County. And since this is fun drive days, these days, it would be good to appeal to your giving spirit by supporting this station financially. Become a member by stopping into the station at the Pantorium Building, 410 Douglas in downtown Ames, or simply give us a call at 515-292-2878 after 9 a.m. Or maybe you want to check out our website at khoifm.org. Memberships are $55 or 15 cents a day, yet it's really the sustenance we are striving for. So maintaining a sustaining membership of $250 a year fulfills your commitment to keeping the airwaves strong with local news and events that strengthen our community through this radio station. We are 89.1 FM, KHOI, the heart of Iowa, Story City, Ames, and surrounding community. And one of the focuses that we like to look at in our previous segments from the previous year are anything to do with strengthening the community. And some businesses that I'd like to share with you. We're going to have some fundraising short interviews from some pretty special people here in Ames. And let's get that started. At KHOI, we strive to promote the Ames business community. In this segment, Jim Rock with Ames Story Tree and Lawn Service discusses emerald ash borer when it was first discovered in Story County this year. Jim explains the pathogen and best practices for dealing with ash trees at our homesteads and in our communities. Hey, welcome to Local Talk. Jim Rock with Ames Story Tree and Lawn Service. So you really are a man of the community.
Yes, sir.
Everybody that I know has a backyard and a front yard, and you're a pretty key guy. And we're going to focus on the emerald ash borer today. Okay. Tell us about that critter.
Okay. Emerald ash borer is an Asian beetle that came over here, we suspect, in some packing material back in the early 2000s. It infected Detroit immediately and wiped out all the ash trees in Michigan. It went down to Indiana, all through the Midwest, wiping out trees as it went. And which is lucky for us, unlucky for them, because we were able to, the doctors were able to isolate it, find ways to fight it. So we have a really good chemical that we use, emamectin benzoate. And it can be injected in the tree. It only affects that tree. It doesn't affect the nature around it. It doesn't affect animals, doesn't affect pets, kids, nothing else. All it does is inject that tree and kills any bug that is eating on that tree.
Okay, so when you say bugs, is that the caterpillars or what's happening? How is this bug attacking those trees?
What it is it's a beetle, and the beetle flies in the air, and so it lands on the top of the tree and eats leaves and mates up there and then lays their eggs on the top of the tree. So when the tree gets infected, no one can see this. It's not something that, unless we're up in the very top, is the only way to be able to see it. We looked at one last week that from the ground you could not see that there was anything wrong with it. When they got in the tree to start trimming it, there was very obvious emerald ash borer in the tree. So it's very important that we treat all our ash trees that we want to keep. And if we don't want to keep them, that's fine. They need to be cut down. Otherwise, the tree gets very weak. It's going to be a hazard. Yeah. It's going to be falling apart very quickly. There will be no way to rig it down like we normally rig all of our trees down, take one branch at a time type of thing, and rig it away from the houses and garages and fences and wires. It will be too weak to rig off of. So it needs to be dealt with today as soon as possible.
And you know a lot about ash trees. Why are ash trees relevant, significant to the Ames community?
Well, ash trees were a big part of our replanting effort after the Dutch elm disease went through and killed all the elm trees. That's when I got into tree service back in 1975.
At KHOY, we strive to promote the Ames business community. Stephanie and Todd Burris, owners of Wild Birds Unlimited at 213 Duff Avenue, share their interests of feeding songbirds and promoting workshops with great environmental outreach.
Well, you're providing a critical link to the songbird community. Mm-hmm. You know, you're providing. How does that make you feel?
It feels good. Obviously, providing top quality products is a big, important piece because all of the seed is no waste and it's 99.9% clean. So there's just not going to be, it's 100% edible. We also have bird feeders and bird houses, nesting boxes, and other hobby items, books, field guides. Anytime somebody comes in, we can usually figure out what they're looking for and help them get started, whether they've never fed birds before or they're avid feeders that just want to try something new. So we really enjoy helping people find what they are looking for.
Did you feed birds when you were growing up, just out of curiosity?
Yes, my family did. Uh-huh. I grew up in Ames on Michigan Avenue, so we had a lot of mature trees, and my dad fed birds for years, and then after a number of years got a little discouraged because of deer, raccoons, other critters, and also just the excess seed falling on the ground and sprouting. Uh-huh. So he kind of gave up on it for a period of time. Uh-huh. Now, of course, they have taken up the hobby again. Uh-huh. And, of course, we have a lot of solutions for critters, big or small.
Yeah, that's really a big part.
Yes, and also the no-mess seeds so that there is no mess on the ground and nothing sprouting.
Uh-huh. You bet. Well, how about you, Todd? Did you grow up feeding birds?
I don't think that we fed birds with bird feeders, if I'm remembering, but my dad and mom planted lots of native plants and shrubs and that kind of thing that produced berries and food for birds. And we had a grove of trees, and we built, my dad was always interested in building shelter belts and things like that. So they were doing a lot of natural things and landscaping, whatever that drew birds into our yard and stuff. And my mom wouldn't know what the idea of somebody keeping a life list is of birds that they'd seen.
Yeah, that's the different birds that people see, and they keep track and the date. And
yep.
It's
and
what
But she just had an old field guide that she would always look through if she saw something, and she would write a little date on it, and she'd, you know, earmark the page and that kind of thing. And so in her own way, she was keeping a life list, but it never occurred to her that that was what she was actually doing. And then she gave me that book a couple of years ago. And it's interesting, she's 86 years old, and she can still remember times like that she first saw a scarlet tanager on the farm, or she can remember redheaded woodpecker.
Now, why would a scarlet tanager embed such a
memory? Had never seen one at the farm before. They're just so brilliant.
Yeah, there's red birds, and then there's scarlet tanagers.
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
And in this segment, we hear from an Iowan, Chris Peterson, from Mason City, Iowa. Chris is known across the nation and internationally as what he calls himself, an Iowa pig farmer. We wanted to learn more about confinement animal feeding operations, or CAFOs, and their effects on Iowa's culture and environment. I've got a couple questions about the confinement situation, because there's no windows. The ventilation is all through the forced air fans.
Yeah.
Do those pigs ever lay down?
Yeah, occasionally, but they're so crowded. What they do is pick on each other. That's why they cut the tails off them before they put them in there, because they'll start tail biting. And there's always a rumble going on.
Yeah, the pigs are fighting?
Pigs are social animals, and they got an established pecking order. And the trouble is, when you have a rumble in a confinement, a fight, and one pig gets challenged, being picked on more than the rest, everybody will start picking on that pig. Whereas when you raise them the way I raise them, they run outside or do something. They have space to get away from that. And they'll kill them. Hmm. You know, it's just the way it is.
So you're describing a pretty chaotic situation. There's nothing natural in these confinements.
Nope.
How many pigs are in a barn, like in a confinement?
Well, you can go any number you want. The state law, 2499, is the threshold for state law. If it's over that number, you got to do more things, hold a public hearing in the county, and this and that. But yeah, there's some of them up to 5,000, 7,500 head. And
the majority are 2,499.
Yeah. But further consolidation and demand overseas, the big ones, there's more and more 5,000 head ones now.
In this segment, Iowa's prairie chickens are highlighted with a visit with a delightful, outdoor-loving individual, Arlene Brinkmeyer from Radcliffe. Join us in learning about Arlene's trip to the prairie chicken area near Kellerton in far southern Iowa. Recently, I ran into a couple of citizens from Hardin County who were in Kellerton to hear and see prairie chickens. Here's Arlene Brinkmeyer from Radcliffe, Iowa. When you pulled up, it was pretty dark out.
Yes, it was.
And had you driven down there the evening before?
Yes, and we stayed at a hotel in Mount Air.
Where are you from?
Radcliffe, Iowa.
Well, that was about 150 miles.
That's right.
And you got an early start on the day. Mm-hmm. Had you seen prairie chickens ever before?
No.
What did you expect?
Well, I guess something what I saw, because I had seen it on Facebook, or on Google, I guess.
Well, did you ever think you'd see prairie chickens in Iowa?
No. Except for the last few years I've been reading about it.
Well, what is it about the prairie chickens that you thought you would enjoy?
They're dancing. Mm-hmm. And that's another bird I can put on my life list, my bird list.
Oh, you're a birder?
Mm-hmm.
Arlene, would it be okay to ask how many years young you are?
I'm 84.
So you can imagine my surprise when you kind of followed me into the parking area there, and I thought, here's a couple of nice ladies that are here for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
Is this sort of prairie legacy important to you and your family?
Yes. Well, it is to me.
You've been listening to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio, and I've been your reporter and host for this segment of Local Talk, Pat Schlarbaum. You were just listening to some snippets of our fundraising efforts, snippets meaning stories that came from the previous year. And since these are our fund drive days, it would be good to appeal to your giving spirit one more time by supporting this station financially. Become a member by stopping into the station at the Pantorium Building, 410 Douglas in downtown Ames, or simply give us a call at 515-292-2878, or maybe you want to check out our website at khoifm.org. Memberships are $55 or 15 cents a day, yet it's really the sustenance we are striving for. So maintaining a sustaining membership of $250 a year fulfills your commitment to keep the airways strong with local news and events that strengthen our community. Through this radio station, we are 89.1 FM, KHOI, the heart of Iowa, Story City, Ames, and surrounding community. And you have been listening to Local Talk. It airs 7 a.m., noon, and 7 p.m. here on KHOI at 89.1 FM. Also remember that you can also hear it online at khoifm.org, as there is live streaming, and find links to the guests and the information you heard during the program. KHOI is streaming live online at khoifm.org. This program is engineered by Cynthia McClure. Thank you, Cynthia. Our theme song, as always, is Backtracking by Tom Richards and Al Harris from their CD, The Ballad of Kate Shelley. We also heard Shining Wings and River I Know by the Big Blue Sky Band. In our fundraising collage, we heard Jim Rock with the Ames Story Tree and Lawn Service. Stephanie and Todd Burris told us about their Wild Birds Unlimited store here in Ames. There was Chris Peterson, the farmer from Mason City, and Arlene Brinkmeyer told us about her prairie chicken experience at Kellerton in southern Iowa. Please support this station by calling 515-292-2878 or going to our website at khoifm.org and find the donate button. Local Talk is a radio production workshop as well as a show, so if you would like to try your hand at reporting, we'll train you. Come and join the Local Talk team. Remember, you, the listener, are what makes KHOI meaningful and possible. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you again on the radio.
bright golden haze on the meadow. There's a bright golden haze on the meadow. The corn is as high as an elephant's eye, and it looks like it's climbing clear up to the sky. Oh, what a beautiful morning. Oh, what a beautiful day. I got a beautiful feeling. Everything's going my way. All the sounds of the earth are like music. All the sounds of the earth are like music. The breeze is so busy, it don't miss a tree. And old weeping willow is laughing at me. Oh, what a beautiful morning. Oh, what a beautiful day. I got a beautiful feeling. Everything's going